Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome into this brand new day. It is a beautiful thing to be on top of the earth. And I know you will agree with me when I say God is amazing. There's so much to give God thanks for. He's good. He's good. And I want to encourage you to not allow the things that's happening around us to discourage your trust and your faith in God. God is good when things are good, and God is great when things are bad. He's just God all by himself. And so this time in life, I'd love to see you join me. Let's pray. Come sit beside me. Come kneel with me. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you this morning, O God. We salute you as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. I hear the birds chirping outside, praising you. And I will not allow the birds to outpraise me. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you and honor you and worship you. And I exalt you, O God. You are awesome. You are awesome, God. You are a mighty God. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the God that stands with us, in us. You are for us. And we just say, thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Bless the hearts of your people today, O God. Bless your children with your peace. May your grace abound in their lives, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The Lord bless you today. So we're in this series where we're studying the book of Nehemiah. I'm not sure why God wants me to study it, but it has been around 3 months that he has called me to study this book. I am late. I apologize. I repent for not being obedient sooner. And I hope that his grace is, you know, will definitely fall on me as I'm planning for a mentorship program kickoff in July. Maybe that date will change. I don't know. But I'm called to study the book of Nehemiah, and I must answer that call now, which is what I'm doing. So when I started studying the book of Nehemiah, as I said, I don't know why. I didn't get it then. Like, why am I doing this, Lord? And I still am waiting and listening for God's instructions. However, this morning, as I did my first devotional, then I went back to sleep, and then I woke up again, and I hear in my spirit that this is a call to worship. That's what I heard, a call to worship. And so I quickly return to worship is the theme that I believe the Lord has given me for this series, return to worship. Now, here's a question that I have for you. What do you do when, after you seek instructions and direction from the Lord, and you get in the Word, and the Word of God affirms where God wants you to go? You may have a prayer group or friends around you who affirm, yeah, this is the direction I feel that God is calling you. Your supporters confirm it. Your spirit confirms it. And you then go after the things of God. And then while you're going after the things of God, you encountered a challenge. And that challenge has left you feeling like you're in a barren season of your life and you need a fresh shower, a new, strong touch from God. We're going to look at the differences between praise and worship. We're going to look at the similarities. We're going to look at what praise and worship look like from each perspective. And then we're going to look at a story of a time when a man of God who was pursuing God and the things of God did mighty works. I mean, amazing things. You know, he was a prophet, the prophet Elijah, and he encountered a challenge. And we're going to look at how Elijah's worship proved positive that the God of heaven backs his children. And God will show up for us when we worship him. So let's dive into the word of God. The first scripture that we're going to look at comes to us from Psalms 100. Let's look at what praise is. We're going to look at Psalms 100 and verse 4. Now, if you are new to my channel, new to my podcast, a hearty welcome from beautiful Santa Barbara County, California. And if you've been listening to me for some time, you know I like the TPT, the Passion Translation version of the Bible, and I go between that and the New Living Translation Bible version of the Bible. So let's look at the Passion, and then I want to look at the NLT to see the differences between how the scripture is read. So I'm looking at Psalms 100 and verse 4, and the Passion Translation reads, "You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come, bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his name." Let's see what the NLT says. The NLT version says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." So praise is thanking and declaring who God is and what he's done. I see praise as an outward act. Would you agree? Huh? Yeah? Okay. Let's take a look at Isaiah 6. Let's look at Isaiah 6. And which one do we want to look at? Okay. Let's look at Isaiah 6. I'm going to start from verse 1 and probably end around verse 3 or 4. NLT version again. Okay, Isaiah 6 verse 1 says, "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke." Worship, based on what we just read, is an expression of adoration for the revelation of God's presence. It's an inward act. Now, let's look at the similarities between praise and worship. Praise and worship both empowers us to enter into the presence of God. They're all response to the moving of God. So what are the differences between praise and worship then? Praise is declaring the goodness of God to others, and it changes things inside you and me. Now, in a worship service, that's a special time for the people of God to assemble together as one. And in those moments, we go after God as one unit. And in doing so, it changes the spiritual atmosphere. Worship, on the other hand, is a one-on-one, intimate, deep meditative time with God. And during those moments, you're going after God with your spirit, with your heart. So sometimes you don't even say anything. Sometimes you're in at Nice City and you're praying and you're worshiping God and the tears are just falling. And sometimes there are no words coming out of your mouth. It's that, as David said, it's the heart that's panting after God. Now, let's take a look into the pages of the Word of God again. Together, let's look at 1 Kings 18. So we're going to take a look at what worship looks like mixed with praise. I think it was mixed with praise. And I want to encourage you on your own to read the story in its entirety. I'm going to give you a summary of it. We're going to look at a couple of verses, but I do encourage you to read the Word of God for yourself. So in this story, there's a drought, and there's a drought in the land. The people of God are in the promised land, and there's a drought. Now, unfortunately, during this time, the people of God were delivered out of Egypt. God took them out of bondage. But unfortunately, just like we are, we forget what God did for us. I'm guilty of that. They forgot that the Lord took them out of bondage, and the Lord kept his promise as well. He kept his promises to his children, and they were in this promised land. Now, while they were in the promised land, they did the exact opposite of what God told them not to do in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 15. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 15 and see what it is that God told them not to do. And in Deuteronomy, actually, I'm going to start from verse 12. The Word of God says, "Be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name." Now, here's the part that's connected to the story we're looking at today. Verse 14 says, "You must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. You must not test the Lord, your God, as you did when you complained at Massa. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord, your God, all the laws and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the land that God swore to your ancestors." I'm going to stop right there. Again, I encourage you to read the scripture in its entirety. Saints of God, people of God, my friends, when we pray and ask God to do something for us, and God moves on our behalf, let's not forget the covenant that we made with God. I know people, even myself, when you're going through a sickness and you pray, say, "God, if you save me, oh, I'm going to serve you." I remember, I talk about this in my book, The Thread. I remember when I hit rock bottom emotionally, financially, physically, mentally. And I remember praying. I was standing in front of the mirror and I cut off all of my hair. And I was just exhausted spiritually. My soul was just exhausted and tired. And I remember saying, God, if you help me, I'm going to go around the world and I'm going to share this message of transformation with everyone. And if you don't help me, I'm going to tell everyone that you're not real. God came through for me. God rescued me from my own self. And I'm here to say to someone, God is real. No matter what you've been through or what you're going through right now, you can trust the sovereignty of God. But you must keep your covenant with God. And so they're in the children of Israel now are in the promised land, and they've forgotten what God told them not to do. God gave them specific instructions before they entered the promised land and while they were in the promised land. God specifically told them not to share his praise with any other god. And he also told them not to serve the idols. And they did the very thing that God told them not to do. They began serving idols. And they were serving this wicked king who was the ruler at that time. Again, they had drifted from God. And this king called Ahab. So if we look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 30 to 31. Let's go ahead and look at that. I'm looking, grabbing my Bible here. Okay. Actually, as I said before, read the whole scripture. But so the children of Israel, the king at that time was Ahab. Now Ahab was the husband of who? Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel built, performed, and worshiped a god called Baal. Baal means the Lord of the sun and star. And he was the predominant god of this time period that we're looking at in the Old Testament. So they both knew about Elijah, the prophet Elijah. Elijah wasn't liked by them. And so there was this challenge. There was a drought, as I said before. There was no rain, the fall. And so there was this challenge that was presented to Elijah, the prophet Elijah. And again, that's in 1 Kings 18, 19 to 21. Let's read it. And the word of God says that now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel. Now, this is Mr. King Ahab saying this. This was Elijah saying this because the challenge came to him. And so he said, okay, let's go to Mount Carmel along with 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, who were supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. He said, okay, we're going to go to Mount Carmel. We have no rain. And I hear that we have this prophet. Okay, let's see if this prophet Elijah and his God can change the atmosphere. Let's see if they can truly change the trajectory of things, right? And so Ahab summoned everyone. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Remember now, things are happening in this atmosphere. The people of God are serving the idols. They have, I would say, reneged against their commitment to God. Now they're in, I would call this a tough season. Can't say it's as tough as COVID-19, but it was a tough season. They were without water. And so they need to make a decision. Okay, so we're in a drought, but because you're in a drought, you're going to turn your back against God? Have you forgotten what God has done for you? I don't know who's listening today and what you're faced with, but let me ask you this question. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Have you forgotten how God has pulled you out of situations that looked hopeless? The irony here, and from what I sense in my spirit, is that as we're going through this COVID-19 pandemic season, Unfortunately, many believers have entangled themselves in Baal-type situations. You're altering between two opinions. As actually, some of you are very mad at God because you can't understand why God, quote unquote, allowed this COVID-19 pandemic to happen. And so you've lost faith in God. And I believe what God is saying is this. If we believe God is God, there's a scripture that says, let nothing separate you from the love of God. Let's read that scripture. Let me find that scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning. There's no good morning
good
here.
Good morning.
Hold on. Okay. Let's find the scripture. I was looking in the Word of God and my other podcast popped up. So if you're listening to this, it's live and I'm not going to re-record it. So anyway, let's go ahead and look for the scripture that says, if God be God, serve him, right? Elijah actually says that too in 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you try to serve both Baal and God? If the Lord is the true God, then follow him. But the other scripture that I wanted to look at is to let nothing separate you from the love of God. And that scripture is found in Romans 8, 35 to 39. And the King James Version says, it's a question that was asked, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for the sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let nothing separate you from the love of God. It's time to make a decision. It is time to commit to what you believe in. God is calling us to a total surrender to him. God wants us to make a decision. If you're on the Lord's side, like Joshua said, then come, be on the Lord's side. Total surrender to God. And so in 1 Kings chapter 18, and then we go down to verse 38, Elijah starts to worship God. He prayed. Let's look at it together. 1 Kings 18, verse 38. So you're in a dry place in your life. You've followed God. You've believed God. And then COVID-19 hit. And then maybe you've lost your job. Or maybe you've lost some loved ones and you're feeling challenged. Or maybe for you, God told you to pick up and go somewhere. And you're pursuing God. And then all hell broke loose in your life. You lost your job. You can't pay your bills. The children are acting out. You know, all kinds of things, a combination of things you may be going through. Where do you find the gumph, the courage to enter into a time of worship? What do you do? How do you respond when life is happening against your control? Let's look at what Elijah did when he was challenged by King Ahab to put up or shut up. Let's start at verse 18. Sorry, Elijah, sorry. It's 1 Kings 18, verse 36. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed. And he says this, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. And guess what happens? When Elijah begins to pray the word, he entered into that time of worship and praise. Because remember, we said praise is that outward act, right? But there was some inward. He had actually, if you read the scripture, he prepared himself before he got there. He entered into a time of worship. And when he did, verse 38 says, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on the ground and cried out, O Lord, the Lord is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to Kishon Valley and killed them there. And so now we go into, it continues, right? Because they were trying to come up against God. And notice what God did before God moved, before the rainfall came. There was a sacrifice that was put on the altar, and God destroyed everything that was anti-God. Before God moves in our lives, we have to be willing to put those things on the altar before the Lord. Everything in your life that maybe you've consumed during COVID-19, or maybe even before that, or even in this present moment, that you know in your heart does not please God, put it on the altar and let God burn them up. It may not be a physical fire. And for some of you, you need to get all of those things. Not encouraging that you go outside and light a fire, but if you got a fireplace, that's what I did. Those letters. Some of you have some credit cards that needs to be cut up and put in the fire. Some of you've got some websites that you're visiting that you need to stop going there. Some of you are listening to music that does not feed you the spirit man. Even some of the things that we wear is confusing the world. Whose side are they really on? You're promoting certain things that is anti-God. The people that you're promoting didn't serve God. Why are you doing that? Now, I'm not saying that we have to be holier than thou, but as a representative of God, if we're all in, about a week or two ago, a pastor preached about get rid of the floaties. It's time to jump all the way into the ocean and swim with God. And this message is for me as well. Worship involves a sacrifice. You got to give up something that's meaningful, that's precious. But that thing is getting in the way of God moving fully in your life. Put it on the altar. Elijah put his faith on display for everyone to see that all his hope was in God. And that faith that Elijah put on display, oh, I believe it grabbed the attention of heaven and God moved. I believe it's time for us to stop, assess our lives, solicit the Holy Spirit's help to do a review, to go through every room in your house. I've done that, several times. And I'm getting ready to do that again. Actually, it was probably 2 or 3 days ago, I was having a conversation with my friend, and I said, you know, I noticed recently that I still have stuff from 10 years ago that I brought from New York, and I feel it's time to let them go. Are there things in your life that needs to go? Perhaps it's time to go through your drawers, go through your closet, under the bed, like physically do a cleansing. I feel that for myself this week. And then go through your phone. Look at every piece of clothes that you have and just ask the question, does this highlight Jesus, or am I promoting the gods of the world? Am I performing because I want to be seen? Or am I truly worshiping God because He deserves my worship? He deserves my praise. And you know, when I look at it, I was thinking about how back in the days, our grandparents were so simple. And we laughed and said, oh, look at the way they dress. And I look at it now, and they used to say, holiness unto God. And all of us chewed and be like, we don't want to wear those stuff to church. We don't want to. And I look at it today, and I'm so grateful for the deposit of how a woman should carry herself. I'm finding myself going back to that roots, the simplicity of being a woman of God. I don't want to be like the world. I don't. I don't want to conform. The Bible says, come out from amongst them and be separate. When I show up and I'm in a room, I don't want to be known for what I wear. I want to be known for the presence of God that I carry within me. And if it makes others uncomfortable, good. But my job is not to intimidate anyone. My job is to connect people to God. And so I believe that God is saying to us, it is time to come back to worship. It is time to spend that intimate time with God and allow God to reveal things to us. Because let me tell us, beyond COVID-19, it's not going to be easy. The church is going to come under a lot of ridicule. We're going to come under a lot of fire. We're going to be forced to conform. The gods of this world are not playing with us. And it's time for us to stop playing church, to stop playing Christianity. So what if people know that you're a Christian? So what? I mean, what's the shame in that? Holiness unto God. If we're on the Lord's side, let's go all the way in. Let's get rid of the things that are distracting our worship, distracting our hearts away from God, away from holiness. Let's do a self-examination and truly come real with God and hand over those things that we know do not represent God, the things that makes it look like we're conforming to the things of the world. Let's throw them in the fire. Because our allegiance to God matters. Anything that does not represent the true and living God must go. Our words and our actions must align. If we're Christ-like, what we do, what we say, where we go, what we wear, must mirror heaven's system and not the world system. One of the things I feel convicted in my heart is just get off of social media. I could post this when I'm done. But this, probably the only post I'll probably post is on my website. And I'm going to set it up so that it automatically gets posted to the other social media. But I have no interest in being on social media for the next 30 days or so. It's my time with God. It's my time with God, and I'm going to be selfish about it. And so I pray that you stay on this journey with me. And let's see what God's got in store for us. God wants true worship from His children. It's time for us to put on the altar everything that does not represent God. The God who led you out of bondage wants you to stay free. And so if you found yourself in ungodly relationships that speaking against the Lord, it's time to cut those relationships off. If you found yourself entangled in the yoke of bondage, maybe you have grown weary I've lost faith over the last couple months that we've gone through the COVID-19 pandemic. As I said in my first recording, come home. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. The best thing for you is God. And worship breaks, it breaks down everything in us that's not of God. And when you're broken, then the path, the brokenness is that pathway that allows the Holy Spirit to come in, enters into your life, consume those things that needs to go, and the Holy Spirit does a cleansing, and he begins to teach you how to enter into worship. God is after our affection for him, and he's interested in our worship. May you spend some time today to worship God and allow the Word of God to minister to you. Get into the Word. Read 1 Kings 18. And before I close, if you look at 1 Kings 18 from verse 41 to 45, this is when Elijah prays for rain. And the Bible says in verse 41, 1 Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. I mean, the man started to brag. Why? Because he had prayed. He had put some things on the altar. So he knows that he can trust that God was going to show up. So guess what Ahab did? He went and ate. But Elijah climbed to the top of the mountain Carmel, and he bowed down low to the ground, and he began to pray with his face between his knees. You want to see a mighty move of God? You want to see the drought in your life turn into a mighty thunderstorm? Oh, get into prayer. Get into prayer and worship. And while Elijah was praying, he then turned to his servant and he says, go look out towards the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah 7 times. He said to Elijah, I didn't see anything. 7 times. Elijah told him to go and look. Maybe for you that means 7 days of fasting or 7 days of prayer. As you're seeking after God and you're seeking for something for God to move in your life. But finally, the Bible said the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand raising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry, hurry, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariots and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly to Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariots all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Not only did God move on Ahab's behalf, on Elijah's behalf, but God gave him speed ahead of Ahab. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the God I'm talking about. I sense that there's someone listening and you're wanting God to do something in your life. Read 1 Kings 18 again for yourself and let God instruct you on what to do. Come home. God is the best thing for you. Worship is the best thing for God. Because in that time of worship, praise will begin to come out of you. Oh, yes, praise. I remember Friday, I was sitting on my bed and I was listening to a Bible study. And this man started speaking about how he's 83 years old. And he was in the hospital for a couple weeks, 13 years ago. And he was told that he probably wouldn't have survived. And 13 years later, he was just in so much tears as he started to share his testimony of the goodness of God. And when I listened to it, I just started crying. And the song that came to me was Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hero salvation. purchase of God. We're born of His Spirit and we're washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Come home. It's time to return to worship. Saints of God, God is calling us to worship. It's time to worship. It's time to worship. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've delivered what you've asked me to share with your children. Bring clarity to the minds of those who are seeking you for an answer today. Show up in a mighty way. Touch lives, change hearts, and grant your children peace as we return to worship. Let there be no more delays, but migrate us back to worship. For those who've been home and they've been doing the online worship, it was good for then. Now I hear you saying, God, we need to come back into your house. And the children of God need to praise, to lift up our praises unto you. In our quiet time at home, we need to worship. So teach us how to worship you, O God. And let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless your hearts this morning. This is a very much longer than normal recording. I felt I needed to take my time with this morning. And I pray, my prayer today is that you will dig into the Word of God for yourself and see what else God wants you to hear from Him. Stay tuned. We will continue Nehemiah 2 tomorrow and see what God has in store for us. Have a blessed day in the Lord. I love you with the love of God. God bless you. Bye-bye.